Let's talk basketball. To do that, well, we turn to the only one who can really set it straight on the Boston Celtics from Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast, our friend John Corrales. Hello there, John.
Hey, man. How's it going?
Well, I'm just living the good life watching these Celtics run up 130, 140 points a night. It's crazy.
It's a significant amount of offense, and it's fun to watch.
Well, it sure is, and everybody chipping in. My man, even Blake Griffin getting in on the act.
Yeah, Blake hits the first three-pointer of the game, which seems to have been reserved for Al Horford. So, of course, the guy who started for Al Horford gets to shoot that and make it. He's gotten in on the fun. Everybody's getting in on the fun. I'm just, you know, going through some of the numbers now, and you look at just how prolifically the Celtics are shooting, and you've got guys who are shooting out of their minds right now from three. I mean, you're looking at like a Derek White who's shooting, what's Derek White shooting? 50% from three, 40, 45% from three. You know, Sam Hauser shooting 49%. Al Horford shooting 40, almost 49%. Malcolm Brogdon, Derek White, Grant Williams, all these guys. You have to get all the way down to Marcus Smart to get a guy shooting below 40%. And even Smart shooting at 35, which is fine, you know, especially for him.
We mentioned Blake Griffin, and you wrote about him at Boston Sports Journal, not just the big night last night, but really the effect he's had on this team with his experience and his professionalism.
Yeah, I mean, I think when Blake Griffin first came to the Celtics, there was like a shrug. Well, okay, that's nice. But I think he and Malcolm Brogdon together have really combined to give these guys some real important perspective because, you know, Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, three of the main guys, Robert Williams, they've only known the Celtics. They've only known this organization. And, you know, you get through some contract negotiations and, you know, ups and downs of the team. And I'm sure you start to wonder, like, okay, is this all this is? Is this all there is to this relationship? And a guy like Blake Griffin, who was the face of a league, the face of a franchise, and then to be where he is now, kind of accepting an end-of-bench role, to kind of relay how quickly things change and how it wasn't all that long ago that Blake Griffin was on the Clippers, It's I think, important perspective for these guys. And Malcolm Brogdon as well, for, you know, him jumping around. And I asked Malcolm about that after the game last night. You see, it's the most common conversation I have with some of these young guys. You look around the league and people try to see, are there greener pastures out there? And basically, Malcolm is saying, no, the green pastures are here. This is where the green pastures exist. So keep it at... keep your mind right and you'll be fine.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. Marcus Smart with a terrific night last night, 22 points. What did I see? A career high, 15 assists.
Yeah, Marcus, swinging that rock. It's easy to rack up the assists when guys are making shots. So it speaks to, again, how this offense is a well-oiled machine. I was looking at some of the numbers here. The number of assisted buckets has gone up to 63.5%. 63.5% of Boston's made shots are assisted, and that's an increase of just about 2.6% from last year. But their effective field goal percentage has jumped 5%. So they're assisting on a couple more per game, but they're making a lot more per game.
Well, and they're getting
wide open shots.
They're getting a lot of assists on threes, which you don't see always with people and teams that shoot as many threes as they do.
And that's the thing. Like, their wide open shots that they're generating three more wide open shots per game from three. So the Celtics last season are getting basically three and a half more three-pointers per game. They're making almost all of them, and they're all wide open. So the fact that they're generating that level of offense It's a historic thing that we're seeing. And, you know, for Marcus, as the point guard, you're just finding guys and they're just making all of their shots.
So many guys are just playing great as role players. And you mentioned Sam Hauser. He's one of those guys that every time he comes in, he adds something. He makes a big three. He comes up with a good defensive play. He's just one of those spark plugs. But everybody seems to know their role. How much of that is because it seems that Joe Mazzulla's got more confidence in his bench than we sometimes saw last year when things were depleted a little bit?
Yeah, last year was kind of nuts last year. I mean, we have to remember last year was a COVID year. And in the middle of the season, you know, we were celebrating Joe Johnson last season for making a shot.
Right.
In the middle of everything. And so this season's a little bit different. It's even though the Ime Udoka stuff happened before the season started, this team has been pretty well constructed. The moves that Brad Stevens has made for on the bench have panned out great. The trust in Sam Hauser has panned out amazingly well. The decision that Luke Kornet was going to be your guy as the backup big has worked out incredibly well. Derek White beginning the full season, bringing in Malcolm Brogdon, everything has worked. But like Brad Stevens has had the Midas touch so far, and so it's easy for Joe Mazzulla to trust in his bench because now he's got guys who can handle the ball. White and Brogdon can both handle the ball, so you don't need to rely on Tatum and Brown quite as much as you did last year. You don't have to rely on those two to generate the offense. You know, Ime relied on Jason Tatum to handle the ball basically from February on. Now he's kind of doing it half the time, it feels like. So, yeah, Joe Mazzulla has a lot of guys he can trust on his bench. A lot of guys who are shooting the ball really, really well. And just it's, what can you say? Right now, everything's going right. I really can't look at this team and say, well, this isn't going great. They're the best team in the league, and it's by a wide margin.
Back-to-back games with Miami and the Heat have been playing better of late. Three straight wins. So what do you think we'll see starting tomorrow night?
Well, obviously there's going to be a much stronger challenge there for the Celtics. A tough physical team that throws a lot of zone at you, and it's a team that knows who they are and a team that is extraordinarily well coached. So those teams can adjust more quickly. They can execute more quickly, and they know how to defend and junk it up. And so you're not going to see the first quarter against the Charlotte Hornets type of production for the Celtics against Miami. That's going to be a much more of a grind out game. So, and that'll be a great test. I think this is the right time for the Celtics to face Miami. They probably need to feel that challenge. I wouldn't be surprised if that first quarter goes a little bit worse than we expect, just as the Celtics get used to, you know, an actual fighter in front of them, throwing real punches at them.
Well, we look forward to it tomorrow night. Celtics and the Miami Heat. Great to talk with you as always, John. Thanks for being with us, and we'll check in again next Tuesday.
All right. I'll talk to you then.
It's John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, Locked On Celtics podcast.